Hello again and welcome to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. I've got quite a lineup this morning. I'm just glancing round the table. We've got a guest who we'd fixed up last week, so agreed to go on, and we've got somebody who I don't know. I think he's maybe still been here since the last time. He's maybe just come out from under a table somewhere trying to hang about and get a job. So we have got, first of all, apart from our own Simon Ferry, Si. You alright?
A bit rough, sorry.
Well,
I'll get through it to
tied up your act. We're professional here. We're trying to get a job done. 45 minutes. I know that's asked a lot for you to produce a good 45 minutes.
Saturday,
but
by the way. Try your.
You won though, eh?
1-1, just terrible.
To be fair, you've been like that all season. Beside them, or two along from them, we welcome back Big Kevin Kyle. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm good. Good to be here. Looking forward to 45 minutes of carnage.
is the reason you say that because of the guy who's sitting immediately to your right, who's just, I think he's come out of a cupboard for something?
Obviously I didn't know who he was. There was a lot of high-fiving in the foyer with some ex-footballers. I saw Mark Burtzel for the past, I saw Barry Robson.
How was his teeth?
I saw whiter than like a big bag of white things. James McFadden, I was going to get the autograph book out or a selfie, but maybe a bit inappropriate. And then obviously this guy here, who I didn't know who was, but then when they explained to me that's the guy that jumped on a night out and went to Holland after it, so this could be entertaining.
It's a pity you couldn't get Faddy or Rob or
we did try to get Faddy to come, but he's tore a calf. The only retired footballer that tore a calf. Paul Slane, the legend, the one and only. I remember reading that in the, and I think I was reading that in the paper and I thought, that's class. I think the worst thing I ever did was in Stranraer on a wee night out in the pub shot, the nightclub shot, if nobody's having a party, you just went down to the ferry and jumped on the boat to Belfast. You got a non-lander, £10 non-lander, took you to Belfast, you waited till the passengers go and you come back, but it had an all-open bar, so that was good, and then you bowled up the street at 10 in the morning, people are like, surely you can't be coming in. I am.
Wait, was that last week?
Oh no, that was a few years ago.
Now, I know this is a podcast, so you can't visualise, but I'm just looking at Slaney. Is it just me, or is it a Henry Winkler tribute act or something like that?
Have you seen the shoes? Oh, the shoes are magnificent, look.
Unbelievable, the balls to turn up like that, it's incredible. And I must say, guys, after the success of the last podcast, it's getting branded by the people as the podcast of the century, and I believe so. Nobody really bothers with podcasts, and this one's good. I believe, Kevin, I have took over again. This is outstanding. Let on you go. I'm just here to watch it and learn.
Between the guy that, who's the singer for Prodigy? The lead singer.
I was thinking of the guy, the brothers out of Bross, Martin Luke
Goss.
I'm into coaching tactics. I was talking to Faddy there, guys. Sorry to interrupt the carry on. I'm here professional as always. Talking to James McFadden, a Scotland hero, and he was saying to me, when I was talking about tactics and styles of play, he said that I'm one of the best in the game. So brilliant. There we go. Superb. This is what it's all about.
Actually, we'll touch on the draw as well later on, the Euro 2020 qualification draw. But before we do, our usual review of the weekend. Cup final here at Hampden yesterday. Celtic 1, Aberdeen 0. Ryan Christie goal. Kevin, deserve victory for Celtic?
Aye, there was only one team going to win the game yesterday. Obviously Aberdeen have done well getting to finals over the course of the last few seasons and things, but they always seem to come up one short when they play Celtic. Celtic controlled the game quite comfortably. They were lacking up front a wee bit. They didn't create too much clear-cut chances. I thought they could they were getting to a point in the pitch and then they were kind of running out of ideas. So the Christie goal just came with a lack of concentration. I think it was the boy Shinny that was picking up Ryan and it was a good ball by Beata. Great save by the keeper to start with, but a nice composed finish considering he was being under pressure. And I think you could have written that story of it happening yesterday, because the way Ryan Christie's capitulating himself out of the team and then playing Aberdeen, his former employees through loan, and then to score the winner, do you know what I mean? But no, fair play to the young guy, because he obviously came back to he's been sitting in loan, two or three times, came back, listened to what he's being told, and it's paid rewards, and he's managed to score the winning goal in the cup final at Hampden.
Brilliant at that.
So I just think that Celtic did well. The penalty was, I'm glad the goalkeeper saved it, because that was an absolute embarrassment for refereeing in Scottish football. To even contemplate that being a penalty in the first place was bad. But Aberdeen didn't really create anything, and you could see from the offset that they were hoping a set piece was going to get them a goal. And when you're hoping that's the case, then things are tough.
It's a good point you touch on there, and I'll ask Paul about this, rightly or wrongly, I'll ask Paul about this. The Kevin touched the referee in this, because had Sinclair scored the penalty and Joe Lewis not saved it, it would have killed the game. It 1-0 Aberdeen, have still got a wee chance. So, you know, thankfully justice was done, but it was, in a cup final showpiece game of the season, it was an appalling decision.
Oh, it's shocking, and this is ruining the game, this, because clubs like Aberdeen need everything in their favour, and decisions like that are going to absolutely kill them, Si.
Yeah, right, mate.
And it really is a disgrace, seriously, and something needs to get done about these. We need to get the VAR system in, I believe.
You think so, mate?
I think so. That would help. Seriously, but it's no fair for these clubs like Aberdeen stuff getting to cup finals. They need everything they can get, and then decisions like that, it's just going to kill the game, it really is.
You're involved with referees, I'm not going to ask you to name the ones that aren't the good, will not get you into trouble, you're still a professional player, but would you expecting a referee such as Andrew Dallas to be given the final, given that finals are usually given out as a reward for good performance?
No, I didn't expect him. I seen Michael Stewart's tweet as well, which he kind of slaughtered him, saying don't know why he got the final, but I think me Willie should do the final, I really do. I know he gets a lot of stick in that, but I think he's our best referee, Willie. And I think the best referee should get
genuinely
it.
Genuinely think Willie's
I think
best
Willie's
referee.
The best referee. Do you know that?
No, I actually do. I think sometimes he's more unlucky rather than incompetent. I think he is a bit unlucky, but I agree with you, I think he's right up
there. And I think the best one should get it, the most experienced one, you know. Willie Collins refereed big games. So
it seems to be a thing that the Scottish footballer likes to dish out games to people as if it's like, yeah, you can have this one. Instead of just like, it is what it is. Get your best referee doing the most important games, because, like you say, Mark, that goal goes in, the penalty goes in, that's it, the game's done there. Celtic might go on and win 3-4, that looks like a rout, but it stays at 1-0, and I know referees will always make mistakes, but you've got to be 100% clear in your head that that boy has handballed that ball inside the box. But it's not even that. It's the fact he's headed the ball. How can you possibly header the ball onto your arm? You know, he's got to wake up this morning and look at that, and he will be embarrassed by it. There's nothing he can do about it. He can't change the decision. He can't come out and say sorry. But it's getting to a point now where that wouldn't have, I don't think it would have affected the it did affect.
Did Jenkins
really
poor throughout the game, big man?
I just sometimes think that these referees don't see it for what it really is. It's as if, like, you've got to sometimes just use your common sense and
I was at the game yesterday, and I watched Andrew Dallas, and I see him covering games all over the country, and the thing for me about, apart from his ability to make decisions, it's his man management of a game and the way he speaks to players. He's the one that really seems, when he's addressing a player, to pull them up about something or give them a warning or produce a yellow card. I think he's overly confrontational. I think he has to just relax a wee bit and calm down, and he might have a better.
The best referees,
I don't think the players respond to that way. It gets the players.
The best referees when I used to play up and down the country was the ones you could hear a bit of banter with,
because
they knew. Like I always used to say to a ref, if me and a centre half are having a tussle early doors, I'll say, ref, look, I'm going to be honest with you, look at the size of me, look at the size of him, we're going to hear ding dong today, but there's nothing malicious about it. And he'd be like, it's all right, big man, I know. And then every now and then you'd do another foul, like, big man, come on, you need to tread the line. And I get to a point where you knew that, right, the next one I'm getting a yellow card. And that's that. But the ones that were like very, very military and dry, no sense of humour, you thought, oh god, what do you call that referee? Ian Brines, is he still refereeing? Tell me he's no. He's sitting me off for like two games into my Kilmarnock career. And the next day in the Monday paper, one of the papers, that Potter's, David Potter, fullback at the time for Inverness, said, aye, that's the last time I jump up for a header with big Kev Kyle and I headbutt his elbow. He admitted he'd butted me rather than me elbowing him, and I got a red card, and I thought, fucking big Jim and Avi's he'd that detail.
You got a fine?
No, I don't know if I got a fine, but he was like, what are you doing that for? I was like, God, fuck, come on.
By the way, I loved Ryan McGowan about you and Jim Jeffries, brilliant.
Oh, the amount of texts I got for that
I'd really say
I was actually thinking, what these guys are going to say here? And then when he said it, I thought, I think I probably did say that. But I certainly didn't bounce about the training and pretend to be this big hitter that played in the Premiership.
Really, yeah.
Or I used to say to Ryan Stevenson used to kind of float about thinking he was Billy Big Boss. And I used to say to him, Ryan, I says, you were in England as well, I know that. I says, but you were John Terry's kit boy. I says, would John tell you to go and get him socks? You went and got him socks. He says, aye, very good, Kyle, very good. I says, what did you do? I says, but you scored in the Premiership. No, I says, well, aye, shut up. That was it. So just kind of like, just banter, just nipping in the bud, but I certainly didn't, wasn't the Billy Big Boss.
Tell you that, the first or seven domestic trophies in a trot for Celtic. Are we looking at a treble here, Paul?
I think so. Certainly, I think this was going to be a tough one. They've got this in the bag now. I think the league will take care of itself. So one to go, and I believe they will win it. What a job Rodgers has done! What a job! He's just superb. Will Celtic keep on to him for the 10 in a row? I don't know. Sorry, do you believe they will?
I don't know, mate.
You know, sure. Well, you're in it,
Celtic. There's one man that knows it, sure, I would say.
I'm not sure. I would love to. I think he might stay for 10 in a row. I think if he does. I don't know why we're talking about 10 in a row, because we're talking about the cup final, weren't we? Weren't the treble?
You
brought it up. I brought it up, and I like to get myself confused at times. But I must say, I do believe they'll get another. A treble. How has that ever been done?
But hold on. Before we start talking about 10 in a row, 8 in a row's not even done yet.
That's done already. I'll tell you that right now.
We'll touch on. Done right now. Yesterday, Rangers are top of the league, and they go to Tynecastle, and they get a result at a difficult venue. So, whatever you think, Rangers are serious contenders.
Just on Celtic, though, you just look at how strong the squad is. The three subs that came on yesterday, I mean, yeah. Simunovic, Brown and Cham, and Griffiths can't even get on the pitch.
Yeah.
It's what a lot of quality they've got. And even the boy Christie coming through now this year, he's a main player. They've just got a squad of 18 really good football players, you know what I mean? Whereas you look at Rangers, have they got that? That'd be my worry for Rangers.
The bottom line is, they're still, okay, Celtic will get the game man, but they're still top of the league. They're now going it away from home. And
went one down. And by the way, Hearts started really well. Yeah. See, after 20 minutes, I thought Hearts are on it here. So fair play to Rangers, because like the big man will know, you go one down at Hearts with the crowd up, buzzing, places jumping, it's hard to come back. So Rangers showed a right good mentality and spirit yesterday.
How important is it to beat Morelos? To keep Morelos and not sell him in January for Rangers?
Oh, they've got to keep him, because with any good side, you need a goal scorer, you need somebody that's going to put the ball away, and you need a couple of good centre-halves. That's where you need a right core right through the middle of your team. Anybody else scoring the amount of goals that Morelos is at Rangers? No, there isn't. So they need to keep him. They let him go, then unless they've got a ready-made replacement coming in, then let him go. But there's no chance. Rangers are grinding results out, and this month will tell whether Rangers are going to be title contenders or not. People will look at Celtic and think, right, okay, they've won seven in a row, they've won two trebles, they've won the first of the cups, they'll crack on, what have you. But I feel the difference this year is that Celtic are dropping points to the teams they didn't drop points to the last couple of seasons. Like they drew with St Mirren 0-0, they lost to Hearts, Livingston 0-0. That wasn't happening last year, and there was a congestion of games. So now maybe once this December period gets over with, because Rangers they've got Aberdeen, they've got Hibs, and they've got Celtic at the beginning of January. So that's going to be tough. So I think come the beginning of January, after that, before the break, it'll tell you whether Rangers are genuine title contenders.
And they've got a massive game, Rangers Aberdeen.
And they've got it's a huge game. But when you've got yourself to the top of the table, like Rangers have done, we did it with Hearts that year when 2010-11. You kind of get a buzz, and you want the big games. You want the big games to come, because you think if we can beat them, that keeps us there, and we're getting confidence. And I think this game for Rangers on Wednesday is coming at a great time. I think the fans are. Apparently, last week at the European game, the atmosphere was amazing. It's something they hadn't seen for a number of years. So if they can get that off the park on Wednesday, and the team can perform on the park, then it's going to give them right good confidence. Because regardless of Celtic having a game in hand and what have you, and winning the cup, Rangers are top of the league today. It's Monday morning, Rangers are top of the league. When was the last time that happened? We need to go back a few years.
Also, I mean, I have to say, Paul, Steven Gerrard, he is a rookie manager. He was a rookie appointment, but when you look at his record over the past 5 months, he has got plenty to offer, and it looks like being a right good appointment with the Rangers.
No, what a job he's doing. And I watched the European game with the 10 men v Villarreal, and at half time I thought this could be 2-0, 3-0 to Villarreal here, but Rangers were absolutely amazing that second half. The desire, the commitment to get a result out of that was just absolutely amazing. And he's really turned Rangers around. I'm seeing the players look so hungry, and again, going to Tynecastle and getting a result yesterday, going top of the league, I think he's what an appointment he is. And again, Si, wouldn't it be great for me to meet him?
I think that needs to happen, doesn't it?
Does anybody, do you know him, Mark?
Kylo's playing, he's a big man, or not?
I played against the man many years ago. But
he gave me his dinner a few times,
like,
didn't he?
I don't know, I've never spoken to him, but you just, somebody of his calibre, you're in awe.
He's a great presence,
even
isn't
about he? You, Mark, as a pundit and a journalist, what have you, and he walks into a room and he speaks, he kind of just commands that respect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mark, can
and
I just...
just from his career, what he's done on the park, and if you can get the respect of journalists and what have you, what does the players feel about him? Do you know what I mean? And that's obviously echoing around.
You don't mess him, do you?
Mark, can
you
I just...
Not, of course you would.
Can I just stop you? You're going to be sitting, you said about Gerard walking into a room, Mark, and do you feel that when I walk in a room? Because a lot of people do say that, and when I walked in this morning, I saw a lot of the guy. As he mentioned,
the disappointment in my face.
Oh, have you told the boys you're going to the Boca game?
Oh, guys, on Sunday, obviously, the tragedy. I've been up crying for weeks, or so. What happened to the Boca Junior bus? The scum that done that, and I'm getting really angry now. What happened? But the good thing that's happened is the game's been moved to the Bernabeu in Madrid. So my flights have all been booked via
Boca. Booked
on Boca. Boca, the Presidente, you call it. People call it the chairman. I call it the Presidente. He's booked my flights. So I'm going over on the Friday night, watching the final, and my God, what a game it's going to be. I really want to talk about this game more. Do you want to talk about it all day?
No, we're all right.
Me and him are getting on brilliant. Have you got a wee spare bedroom in the house I can stay with you?
I actually have.
Me and you be brilliant together. And we're getting show. This is outstanding today.
I could do with a babysitter.
Your Wayne's would need to babysit him.
My four boys would do him run right.
Honestly.
I would hate to think what my boys would be like if he was there for them.
Magic. No, so I'm going there Friday, guys. Is anybody interested in going? Because I know that he was short, but not at all. Yeah, you were like,
I'll come
here, mate. I'll speak to the president. He'll get that sorted for you.
What does the president say about you? You're coaching and
he actually sent me a coat. I was going to wear it here. It's a long
get your initials on it.
No, Camel not initials coat, it's no. A $2,000 tiger print zest of a coat. Beautiful. And he sent it. He's only ever sent two. One to me and one to, is it Martin Palermo? The big strike. He sent, that's the only two he's ever sent out. And he said, the things I've done for that club is outstanding. No, listen, it's great and I can't wait for the weekend, Si. And I'll try to get you away, mate, but I don't know if I can get you there or not.
What about the moving back to Tyke?
What a day, honestly. Look, everybody's loving herself. Christmas.
We'll move back to Tyke. Scott Arfield, what about the challenge?
He's just had an absolute moment of head loss. Mm-hmm. He has, isn't he? Yeah. I can see initially he's probably thought there's a wee chance here. But as he's got closer and he's went to ground, I don't think he can stop himself, and he's probably uttering those two words in his mouth, in his head, he can't think about it. So the ref is probably right to send him off because it is dangerous play, you know what I mean? That could have been a sore one for the goalie, but he was miles away from it. That's the sad thing.
It's almost as if he started revving up 5 yards.
I just think sometimes the heat, Tynecastle, the way the stadium is, the way it's always been, but the way it is now, the atmosphere, Rangers are winning 2-1. He's probably just thought, you know what, if I get in here and lay the goalie or try and get the ball in, the fans are going to love me for that. And it's just maybe a moment that he's just... He'll not do that again, that's for sure.
You know Scotty, a big man there?
No, I don't know.
He's a great guy.
His makeup to be doing that. But
he's done
he's
well
just,
at Rangers, eh?
Aye, he's just obviously... we've all done it. I've done it myself.
Tynecastle does that to you, doesn't it?
Aye, it does. It's the heat of the moment. He's caught up in the whole moment, and you're thinking, oh, I'll go, and then he's got there and think, he's probably, at no point has he thought, I'm going to get sent off for what I'm going to try and do here. But unfortunately, he has done.
I remember I was on the bench at Tynecastle. I was only 17 or something, and there was no other centre midfielders fit. So if one of the midfielders got injured, I was on. And the first time at Tynecastle, I was shitting myself. It was so intense. Gordon Strachan, goes down in 18 minutes, and wee Strachan turns around and says to me,
told Jim Blythe to get warmed up.
Go and get warmed up. Mate, honestly, my heart, and see you running up and down the touchline, the Hearts fans were honest, man. And I've never wanted somebody to get up so much in my life. Wee Strachan, I was getting ready, and Crosscast bounced back up and played 90 minutes, but I was absolutely shitting myself.
But you'd have loved it though, if you got on it.
Maybe once I got on, but I really was really shitting myself. It's some place, see when it's rocking, it is very scary because they're so close to you, isn't it? And they give you dogs abuse.
I'd never played. I'd played at Tynecastle once for Scotland against New Zealand, and that was flat. It was a Scotland game. It is what it is. But when I signed my Hearts and came on that first time, I was like, oh my god, man, this is the real deal. This, even though it's in a smaller capacity, but I would love to play there now with the stand the way it is the whole way around. Mm-hmm. And when the fans are behind you, I don't think there's an atmosphere in Scotland like it. Obviously, the Old Firms, they got the volume of fans, but it's the noise in that wee cauldron that's it's quite electrifying.
And they're ruthless as well, man.
They're ruthless. I never experienced that. I was on good terms with Hearts fans, but I've had a few bits of dog's abuse for the away fans. You know what I mean? And that can be quite intense as well from the away fans, because you think, man, even when Rangers scored yesterday, you see them all clambering over the barrier, and they're just like, oof. But no, it's good. Neil Lennon's favourite place, I heard.
Along that takes us nicely onto another one of your former clubs, Kevin Kilmarnock. There's no stopping them. I know football isn't based on calendar years, but you look at 2018 and Stevie Clark, what he's achieved, and to get another victory again against, okay, Hibs not in the best of form, but still a good Hibs team, and they won so comfortably.
They did. I watched the highlights last night, and three very good goals. They could have had more. Greg Stewart was
brilliant, isn't he?
When he tied that boy, that the left back for Hibs, up in knots, and it was incredible bit of skill. He went one way, went the other way, and he went back the other way, and the boy just put his hands up and went, oh, fuck. and then Kilmarnock under Stevie Clark, I think he's a manager that a lot of guys would like to play under, because he's got a great reputation from his time in England and stuff and what have you, but he just comes up and he's come up and the players are all playing for him. They're all playing well. They're looking better players than they did the year before. He's brought in some good signings. And you kind of think, at what point is this bubble going to burst? But this bubble's no bursting, because Kilmarnock are actually a really good side. Because I think Hibs are a really good side under Neil Lennon. But Kilmarnock blew Hibs away. And Hibs, I don't know whether they had an off day, but they didn't look anywhere near competing towards the game on Saturday as much as Kilmarnock were. Kilmarnock were a right good side who are going to take points after the Old Firm and cause a few upsets this year.
You think when Killie get into the top six last season was the first time in a number of years that they've always lacked consistency, and I think maybe a lot of people thought they'll not get in the top six again. People will suss them out, the bubble or bust. But if anything, now they're going to end up top four.
They've actually kicked on. They've got themselves at the top six and stayed there. But now they're in the top six, and now they're thinking, right, can we finish third? Can we get fourth? It's the case. And there's a reason why they can't. The fans are coming back, which is great, because they've got a great stadium, and the pitch is a bit, obviously, iffy with the Ashes turf. But good club, good fans, and they seem to be heading in the right direction.
And you know that he lost his best player in the summer as well, Peter Forget, Malumbu, you know?
Yeah.
I thought he struggled without Malumbu, but the boy Powers came in and he's done good. And they've got guys that can score goals. I think that's a big thing in this league. I think the difference between a Hibs now and a Kilmarnock is Kilmarnock have got guys that can score goals. Mm-hmm. Brophy and Stewart are very good, the two of them, you know.
There's nobody thinking it just seems to be a collective unit who are all going in the one direction, and it seems to work. One player comes out, and the player that comes in, he knows the job that's being asked, and they all seem to fit.
And Power and Dicker are brilliant in the middle of the
path. The two of them, Power's got a bit of tenacity about him. He likes to get forward, and he seems to get into bits where other midfielders don't. But it's just, I think, is it McDonald, the goalkeeper? He's been left out. And you think of some of the saves that how he was performing got him into the Scotland setup, and now he's not in the team. They've got competition in places, and that can only be good for the club.
And Jones is good as well, isn't he? Jones is a game changer. Jones,
seriously, but what a job he's done, isn't he, Steve? That is, it's incredible.
We talk about Brendan Rodgers earlier. Staying for whatever he's staying for. Yeah. When will they start? Does Brendan Rodgers go and does Steve Clark go the other way?
He's a Celtic potentially.
I don't think many Celtic fans would argue with that.
Would you take Steve Clark at Boca?
Well, no, listen, I've got so much respect for Steve Clark. Does his style fit at Boca? Frantic pace,
No. So, no, listen, I would love to meet Steve Clark, as I said the last time, but still not happened.
Have you met anybody?
Faddy, just like Faddy.
Faddy's my type, mate. So, no, but listen, what a job he's done. Seriously, like for years and years, come on, we're sort of fighting relegation every year. I'm so serious, I know I'm talking, but I'm really speechless. It doesn't make sense, like my. But
no, I know what you're saying. I picked up a guy the other night in my car.
See, this guy, I love him
to bits. I just came back for the football. I said, "Look, Max, I was up at the Kilmarnock one," and I just like, he didn't obviously know who I was, and I just randomly out the blue went, "Ah, Kilmarnock. I kept in the league a couple of years." He went, "What do you mean you kept us in the league?" I said, "I just kept them in the league a couple of years in a row." And he's like, "What do you mean?" I said, "I come up one time for England, I scored about 8 or 9 goals for them, and then the next season I scored a few, kept them up. You're not Kevin Kyle, are you?" I says, "Aye." "So you are, big man. Hey, can I tell you something? See every password I've got on my computer? Super Kev." I said, no way, man. I was going to give the boy the fare for nothing, but it was all paid for before you got in the car, unfortunately. So it was good humour, but
amazing.
It caught him by surprise. Like that topped off a good Saturday night. So
he must be honestly a top manager. Yeah,
he's got seriously, that job comes up, he'll be.
He's going to be linked to every good job now.
He's been brilliant for 2018.
He's been really, really good.
Yeah, he's been outstanding and a good guy as well. Well, he was a football writers manager of the year.
This year again,
he's got to be in the running.
Incredible.
We'll touch quickly on the bottom of the table. I was at St Mirren v Hamilton, 3-1 to Hamilton. Livy, comfortable winners against Motherwell. Are we looking at St Mirren and Dundee being detached? Are Motherwell going to get dragged into this?
I think Motherwell have got something about them. I think they've got potential to get results. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think with St Mirren and Dundee, I'm not going to write off as yet, because Jim McIntyre has just got into the job.
Yeah.
His first game was a bit of a non-event because he was only in there a few days. But then obviously he drew with Hibs, which is a good result after being 2-0 down. So They didn't play at the weekend, did they?
No.
So they've had more time to work in the training ground. Yeah. So we'll see how they get on this weekend or through the week whenever they're playing. But St Mirren, for me, they look like they're in big trouble. Mm. I don't see how, what's going to change.
They beat half to nil the previous week.
I know. So for me, St Mirren, I don't know, it's going to be tough. There's obviously something there, beating Hearts, but it's, can they get that every week, and can they? I don't know. I'm already writing the cards for St Mirren.
I think January will be big as well, isn't it? Because I think Jim McIntyre will bring in a lot of his in players in January.
Yeah.
I think he'll bring in boys that he's worked with before, and I think Dundee will end up staying up.
Have you heard him?
No, but I've heard the boys quite like him, I think.
I've heard that. I heard he's decent, aye.
He's good. Okay, that covers the review of the weekend football. We're on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. I'm Mark Guidi, delighted to say three guests today: Simon Ferry, Paul Slane and Kevin Kyle. We've got two more subjects to touch on and you're going to love this. I'm looking forward to it. December fixtures / Christmas nights out. That's what the script says. I'm going to rip up the script. Let's get right to the Christmas nights out.
Magic. It's
let's
the best
get
time
right
of year,
to the Christmas nights out. Right. Let's start with the man who's been on a 4-year Christmas night out. Slaney, tell us your favourite football team Christmas night out.
Well, it was when I was at Ayr part time. And we went down to Newcastle and it was just absolutely crazy. I remember one of the boys, I'm not going to mention names, I was going that mad. Listen, all good fun, no badness, all fun. And I was that mad, one of the senior players took me aside and went, "Slaney, everybody's loving you, you're having a great laugh, everybody's loving you." So I said, "Of course they are, because I'm brilliant," right? So anyway, he took us aside, right? And I said to him, "I really appreciate that, I really appreciate you taking me aside," because he said to me, "No more now, right, just have a good night, quiet," right? And I said to him, "Thanks so much." I said, "Thanks so much. I'm not going to do it in Daft now." The next day, at a trip in Newcastle, the boys were all sitting there watching the football. And that's the, I think the Sunday's the best day. Uh-huh. Or the football, you're bored. So I think myself, I went upstairs. I can't remember what I was there for. And I'm looking at my hair. I didn't like it. I don't know what was right. Listen, looking good in it. But I didn't like it. So I said to one of the boys, "Come, we're going to walk." I said, "We talk about?" I said, "We're going to walk out of this pub. We're going to walk." So we went into the
We're going to be walking through the city centre of Newcastle, right? We get, and it's this right posh hairdressers, and I mean right posh. So I've walked down, and there's all these ladies sitting here, all rich ladies, who were really eyeing me up and down. I think they really found me attractive and found me very sexy. But apart from that, I said to the guy, I need a haircut. I said, I'm not comfortable here with my hair. So, this is a true story, Kev. I swear, me and you, this is the story of the day is me and Kev getting on brilliant. But apart from that, sorry. I'm in the hairdressers, and there's one guy, he's like, you need to leave. And I said, I ain't leaving anywhere. I said, I'm top dog down here. I want a haircut. So he sits me down the chair, says, which you want? And I say to him, I want the front of my hair all shaved, like a baldy, and leave the sides and the back all long. So that's what he done. And if you don't believe me, guys, have you seen the picture? Fucking cracking, by the way. Cracking, sorry for the language. Cracking. Old guy's haircut. So I'm walking about Newcastle with an old man haircut, bald at the front, long hair at the back, and everything. What's it? And all the boys are buzzing off, cheering, oh, slinny boy. So we've been out that night. We went out that night, and all the other teams for Scotland and England are there, and they're all getting pictures with us, and I'm up my shoulders. I think it was, who was the boy? It was Ryan Sessegnon for Sunderland. Remember that wee boy? Crank player, wee boy. Remember Ryan Sessegnon?
No, Sessegnon for Sunderland.
That's for Fulham, sorry. What's the boy Sessegnon? He's in tapping my shoulders getting a picture. I'm saying, get off. He's like, I'm going to get your hair cut. So anyway, it was a cracking night out. It was absolutely mental. Seriously, somebody stole my shoes as well, and I went home with a pair of fettle boots on. See you for the game. I swear to God, it was a disaster. But what a time. I get played in the tournament as always. Just brilliant. Seriously. And I've never been to a Christmas night out since. I changed my ways. I've never been out since. I've never touched a drop of alcohol. And look at me, the way I'm blemish inside is a word I'm trying to use. Brilliant.
There you go.
Superb.
You can't afford that.
Come on, Kev, you must.
No, I don't. My Christmas parties were quite tame, actually. I can't even think of anything really seriously daft that went on. I was always cautious because 99.99% of the time I was the brunt of the daftness. But when it went away to Christmas parties, I was kind of thought, I'll kind of be mature about these.
Mm-hmm. But did you have to, was part of these because you had to change in terms of, I'd imagine when you first came out in your Christmas parties when you're at Sunderland as a kid, you were there, Christmas, you know, anonymity, but then... Like, 10 years down the line, it's mobile phones and
Christmas
people
parties,
photos and video and everything.
Christmas parties at Sunderland youth team. Wait a minute, now they're coming back.
Yeah, let's go.
Now they're coming. I don't even know if this is it.
Did you get a baldy in Newcastle?
No, when does this, what time did this air out? Before the it's watershed?
It's non-stop.
It's
going when live into Slaney's house now.
All the family sitting listening, they're all buzzing. They'll be cheering now.
The first team were having a Christmas party and I was part of the first team. And it was another locked doors kind of thing. And I said to them, could I bring my mate down? Like, can my mate come? He says, I need boy, Kevin. So my mate came down for Chinois, his nickname Sausage. And he came down and what a Christmas night. To this day, he says, Kevin, that's the best night I've ever had. And we went to like Ireland a few times because we had a lot of Irish players. So we went to, there was a place in Ireland at the time called Lily Bordelos. And you had all the Irish superstars in this place. You had like the Formula One driver, Eddie Irvine. And then you had Samantha Mumba. She was just hitting the charts. Samantha Mumba and all that. So, and then as I got older, I was a captain of Kilmarnock. So I was organising the Christmas parties. I took the boys to Belfast for 2 nights. That was eventful. And then I'd won with Rangers. It was good. We went to the golf lounge in Glasgow. So that was my first experience as an old fun player, having a Christmas night out in Glasgow. Exhilarating. But obviously there's reasons behind that. You kind of go too tonto in Glasgow when you're playing for
Rangers.
Did
you ever get anyone cancelling the Christmas day?
Jim Jeffries, to be fair, said to us that day we were playing Aberdeen, if you don't get a result tonight, that flight to Belfast will be cancelled. We're like, aye, alright, gaffer. I've got the jokes. And then we did lose. We lost to Aberdeen. Gaffer's boys like, okay, what's happening? There was that tense moment where and everybody's asking me because I was a captain, what's happening, Kyler? Are we getting this Christmas party? I was like, I'll go and hear a word with Jim. So I walked out of the office and Jim's looked at me and I was like, Gaffer, the boys are worried about the Christmas party. Look, these are going, right? But just fucking get in there and tell them they're not going. And I was like, okay, Gaffer. So I was like, oh boys, it's bad news. I said, oh no, I said, the Gaffer says we're not going. You're fucking joking. I said, like, Kyle, you get back in there and sort it. I said, the Gaffer says we're not going. And then Jim came in and then the place just went quiet. right, I've told big man he's only going to the Christmas party, I fucking had enough and all that. And then at the last minute, wee Billy says, aye, you got his ear. I'm like, hey, I'm the boss now, waiting Glasgow Airport, 20 minutes later, all wrecked.
Have you ever so,
all good, all good.
What about your side?
That we were the same. The Canyon would not say Christmas parties. Mm-hmm. So every year, no Christmas party, but the boys obviously went and organised one. So he'd give you a couple of days off. He said, but I want everyone to go home with their families. As soon as he said that, gear on, straight to a hotel. There was a big bus waiting for us. We'd organise it 3 days in Liverpool. What, do you know who's the best drinker ever? Adam Rooney. See, boy who played Aberdeen.
He's flying by
he, mate, he used to wear the same what gear. We'd get there on a Friday, right, and Ad would have jeans and a t-shirt on, and he would just sit with that gear on for 3 days, and he'd just sit in the bar and get steaming for 3 days.
It was a Christmas party.
He was amazing,
party.
Man.
It was the Christmas party. The quiet teammates.
We came at their really, shell.
Like, we had a guy at Hearts. Jason Thompson, like, wouldn't he say about
a big Sherman or Jason, a big ginger guy?
He had this party trick, they called it Big Shoe. So he took his shoe off that he'd been wearing all day in every pub, fill it up with a pint, and then neck the pint with the shoe. And every time, every pub, they get Big Shoe, and then the shoe was coming up thinking, he must be sculpting walking the pub.
We used to pour pints out our heads and all that, was stupid. Aye. But see, the thing with the Canyons, we'd go on a 3 day bender, right? And the Saturday we'd play, and before the game he'd make a big thing. He said, I'm telling you lads, we're going to win the day. They've been on their Christmas due, yous haven't had one, we're going to fly now, we're going to fly. So we'd win the next couple of games, and after every game he'd say, I told you lads, because yous never went on that Christmas day. We were all sitting thinking, we were steaming for 3 days.
He knew though, didn't he?
I don't know, no, if he knew, mate, he'd punch your head in.
You think
it.
So?
Oh,
what
hey, he'd go off his
neck. I thought he never
but
missed
it. No, he never, I don't know, he probably didn't.
Reverse psych. Right, I take it, I'm sitting here with three professional footballers, one of them still playing. Your work just gets in the way of it in December, aye?
You always get beat before the Christmas day, don't
you? I'm looking at now, the schedule, particularly Celtic and Rangers, are saying there's no way they'd be able to fit one in European games, midweek games.
See, in England, right, it was easy in England because 5 yellow cards, you got suspended. It was simple, right? So I was renowned for a good yellow card. So I used to get to the December fixtures and think, right, fucking hell, what am I at here? And then, because I used to like New Year at Stranraer, right? New Year.
Sunderland fans are going to be
it's alright, we were winning. We won the league.
Better be you at the team.
They didn't miss me. It was only what? I played 46 games, I played 44. It's alright. So I was thinking, right, if I get a yellow card here, I'll miss New Year's Day's game. This will be class. So
this will be class.
Fucking, so I remember I was a sub. Gaffer said, I'm going to rest you over the Christmas period. We've got a lot of games coming up. And I was like, I need ball. So he put me on for 20 minutes against. I don't know who it was, but
who's your gaffer at this point, Kev?
Mad Mick, McCarthy, hi, Big Mick. And I was dribbling the ball and I was going down the wing.
You must have been drunk if you were dribbling the ball.
Oh, I was electric, going down the wing with this ball. And this guy took me out, right? I don't know who it was. So I got up and I thought, right, just fucking overreact. Like, just, so I pushed him. I said, what the fuck are you doing? And he got up and he pushed me back and I went to go for him again. The ref came out, right in front of the touchline. Went out with the yellow card twice. Then put out a red card. I said, what's going on here? I says, yellow card for the push and yellow card for the cent, you're off. Away you go. And then Mick's gone up. And I was like, and then Gaff was like, Kyle, what's happened there? I said, Gaff, I don't know. He's given me 2 yellow cards. I'm off. He says, right, we'll sort it out. I ended up getting a three game ban. I had Christmas off, New Year off. It was brilliant. It was absolutely dynamite. Gaff says, you just take a week off, big man. You've done well and all that. And that was it. But brilliant. Obviously, there was a story behind it. He'll probably hear about it and he'll be like, that big bastard. But that's what you do. Like you say, the games get in the way sometimes.
Did you ever get sent off?
Aye. Yeah. Came on for, I meant to go, I came on, I was a substitute, which I should never have been a sub, and the manager that put me
who's
on,
your manager?
I can't name names because I don't want to, if he hears this, but he'll know it anyway.
Well, who is it? Who's your manager?
It was Mark Roberts, right, but he left.
He didn't know what he was doing anyway.
Well, what a man, seriously, what a man, I tell you, but then he left.
So right. Why were you a sub?
David, no, I'm just going to get
a David, yeah. I told him to take you off.
So see, Andy Milne, right, he's in it, come up. What one of the nicest guys, he started me a sub, right, and I got on with Andy, brilliant, serious, us two were great friends. I used to spend a lot of my nights at his house and just talking and chatting and dinners, lovely food on the table. So anyway, on the Saturday, he said, you're no starting, and I swear to God, a player like me no starting, in the second division, no thanks. No thanks. So I said, what I'm going to do when I come on, a straight red, there you go. Took one touch, Paddy Boyle, up in the air, straight red, off you go. I swear to God, I couldn't believe it. Straight red, sir.
What did the manager say? Yeah?
No, see, to be fair, I was only joking, but I did get straight red, and I don't think it was. I didn't mean it. I took a heavy touch. A touch was absolutely, I should have been sent after the touch. Seriously, I just come alive and the lights come on. Honestly, this is all about me again. So I took a heavy touch, and then I went through. But I was gutted because I let the team down. And I didn't mean it, though. It was, see, when I watched it back, it probably was. At the time, I never thought it was. But it's the worst feeling in the world. You just feel so bad. And you feel that Andy just came in, and I felt I let him down, and I swear to God,
so did the dinner stop after you got sent off?
No, they continued. Continued to have lovely wine, speaking about football all over the world. Cracking family, my family met his, brilliant times, really was. I love this, honestly. I think I'm destined for the top. I think I'm the new star in town when it comes to media. BT and Sky have already made a bid since the last podcast of the century. They've made a bid. I do believe I will take over their shows, and it's all coming good for me. Where I was and where I'm on now. My God, look at this. What a start.
Why don't we just get these two on every
week? Honestly, that's two are brilliant together. Seriously,
I'm worried.
Are we going to go for a wee Christmas dinner today? Please, I'll take his one.
Yeah, don't be an open goal Christmas night.
Oh, why don't we do that? I had to go for a wee dinner today. I've took work half a night. We'll go for a Christmas dinner.
Bob's just going Sunderland.
It'll be fine. They're all right in there. I didn't genuinely mean to get sent off. I just wanted a booking.
Right, we've only got a few minutes to go.
Oh,
we better crack on from Paul Slane being a sub at the Air Reserves in the second division to the Ballon d'Or. Luka Modric, Leo Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. It looks like Luka Modric is going to get it. Kev, were they winner ahead of Messi and Ronaldo?
I think so. For what he'd done with Croatia in the World Cup, I think he led that team single-handed to the final. A constant 9 out of 10 every week for Real Madrid, dictating the game. I think he's one of these players that are very... You don't actually see what he does until somebody maybe actually breaks it down on an analysis. A very, very composed midfielder who sees things that your average football player doesn't see. Even your average fan wouldn't even notice that what he's seen. And to break the partnership of Messi and Ronaldo, who's won it the last, 10 years or so, it's a big feat. Because it's not just him. There's a lot of good players now in the world.
There's one that Neymar, from one tricky... winger, striker, such as yourself, Slaney.
Very similar players.
You're the man to talk about him. He's not in the running. Is his diving overshadow his ability?
No, well, I don't believe he should. I think he will win it. I think he will eventually win it. But this year, Luka Modric, no thanks. He should be nowhere near it. Because the hardest thing in the game is to put the ball in the back of the net. And Kylian Mbappe, 19 years old, a player I used to play against at the Euro 17s. I played at the right, he played in the left, and he actually said, what a player, son. But anyway, forget that. I believe Mbappe should win it. I think he actually won France the World Cup. Yeah. And I know they've got a lot of good players. If it wasn't for him, they would have been nowhere near it because they had a donkey up front in Oliver Giroud. A guy didn't have a shot on target. Should be nowhere near it. And Luka Modric, no thanks. No, not at all. Because if he's going to win it, Xavi Iniesta should have won it years before.
That's a good point.
Thanks very much. Listen, sometimes
I'm
comedy gold, but I'm also... very intelligent and very articulate. Very articulate, great words, Si, and I really study the game and study life about football. This is great, isn't it? I love it all. I just love it. I really
do. I think Mbappe deserves it more than Modric. Right.
Why Mbappe? Do you know why? Because he won the World Cup.
Do you watch, well, you said that Modric deserves it because he got Croatia at the final on his own. Mbappe won it on his own.
I know, but France.
Did you hear Deschamps' halftime team talk in the World Cup final? Everyone just keep doing their jobs, and if we get the ball past, get the ball to Mbappe.
Very similar. 19-year-old get the ball to Paul. Remember
that was it.
Very
similar.
You can see this.
But the Ballon d'Or's over.
Mbappe's a better player than Neymar for me. More effective.
Mbappe, I like Mbappe.
I would actually say, and I'm not trying to. I would say Neymar is better, but I think Mbappe's speed. I think Tierney said that. He said that he's never seen MD like him when they came here. I've never seen somebody as quick and also good, because you get players that are really fast, hopeless, aren't they? But you do. What's the thing in Scottish football they say with players like that?
Speedboat with a driver.
That's the one, isn't it? Great wee saying.
On that this morning, side breaking news, Southampton, Mark Hughes is away.
Is he sacked? Is he?
Sacked him. Eltel.
No, thanks. Too big a job for Eltel.
No.
He needs to cut his teeth in the league.
He Steny job.
He never got the Steny. Colin McMenamin got it, didn't he?
Mark Q should be sacked.
Well, he has been.
Why did I? I just don't. By the way, Armstrong, what? See, he's got the weekend again, Armstrong.
Can I please see this, guys? And this has got. See, in maybe 6 months to a year's time, we'll play this back. Stuart Armstrong will be Liverpool's centre midfielder in a space of a year's time. There you go. Now, you heard it here first. We can all laugh because I was right with Forrest. I was right with Fraser.
Tommy, right?
Alex McLeish, Fraser and Fornish playing. What happens in the next two games? He plays them because I said that. So Armstrong will be the next player to play, Si, I believe so.
Well, there's a link to a final part of the programme.
Good link, mate.
The Euro 2020 qualification draw. Belgium, Russia, Kazakhstan.
Cyprus.
San Marino.
Not Kazakhstan. When did I get Kazakhstan?
That was Big Stanley, wasn't it? Kazakhstan, that was a team I played.
Belgium, Russia,
Cyprus. Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan and San Marino. So six team section very quickly. Si,
finish second.
Belgium, Russia. Can we still
definitely?
Can we still next
I think it's quite a good group. I watched Russia in the World Cup. I thought they were quite poor. Russia. Yeah. I know they got. I think they got to the last 16, but they were home nation. But I don't think it's not a great time for Russian football. I think we're on a high. I think we could finish second in that group.
The big one. Looking at the fixtures, the dates of Kevin, September, in the space of 4 days at home to Belgium and at home to Russia. That September's going to be.
Like the Belgium games, if Belgium do what they do, they should all just take care of themselves. It's the we are playing in a five group here with Russia, Cyprus, Kazakhstan and San Marino. If we can make sure we take care of Russia, then I think we've got a right good chance of qualifying the second. San Marino, we played them before, didn't we, many years ago? Mm-hmm. Aye, 2003-04, aye. I remember an away trip to San Marino. Nice place.
Is it?
Aye. Bottom Italy, isn't it?
Yeah, is it? Yeah,
no.
There you go. You're getting everything in there. A wee bit of agriculture.
I think it's a good draw. I think it's a good draw. I think it could. If you look at Northern Ireland,
yeah, it's decent.
It's decent for us. We've got like Russia in the World Cup. They're in the World Cup only because they hosted it. They did quite well, but they didn't really particularly play anybody of great
caliber stature.
But I think genuinely we've got a chance. We've got two big games against Russia, and that's where our qualifying campaign will begin and end.
Brilliant, thank you very much for that. We have had 45-46 minutes.
Outstanding
brilliance. I don't know how much of it's going to make the cut, to be perfectly honest. I think whatever you're listening to, it might have been slightly different from what we heard live in here with our guests, but it's been a great 45 minutes. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Thanks to Simon Ferry, to Paul Slane and to Kevin Kyle for joining us on the Open Goal podcast. Keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Enjoy the rest of your week.